I am James Wesley Stivers. Today I want to talk to you about the teachings about marriage in the story of Ruth. We talked about the pattern for marriage that we find in the first marriage of mankind, that of Adam and Eve, and how it was arranged by God. It was an arranged marriage. In this book, we're going to find out that there is a unique relationship that is reflected in the capacity of the man, not just as the husband, but as a ruler of the land. Let me briefly tell you the story. And in this time, there was a famine in the land, and a man by the name of Elimelech went to live in the land of Moab, and he took his wife and his two sons with him. While he was there, his two sons married two women from that country, and in the course of time, not very many years passed, that Elimelech died, and then his two sons died also. Naomi, who was his wife, with no husband or sons to take care of her, decided that she would return to the land of Israel. And before she did that, she attempted to send her two daughters-in-law away, but one refused to go. Her name was Ruth. Now, in verse 2, it tells us there's something interesting about Boaz. It says that he was Naomi's kinsman, a mighty man of wealth. Now, this Hebrew word for mighty man is geber. A geber is not just an ordinary man. It is a word which highlights the masculinity of man, although a geber may be or may have been a warrior. Since Levites and old men are referred to as gebers, we must find the meaning of the word in the moral qualities which make the warrior. The closest modern word for geber is patriarch. The geber is the foundation or the anchor of society. He is almost always a polygamist. From the gebers, the patriarchs, come the professional classes which create the fabric of society. So what we have here, this mighty man, which Boaz was, he was a geber. Also, we find in chapter 2, verse 4, that he was a righteous man. Now, Boaz had maidens, that is, concubines. As it says in verse 13, this is Ruth speaking to Boaz. She said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." He was also an old man, as it says in verse 10 of chapter 3, which we will get to in a minute. Now, let's look at Ruth. She is called a virtuous woman. Now, why was she virtuous? She was virtuous, first of all, because she was loyal to her husband's family. She was virtuous because she sought for God among God's people. She humbled herself as a handmaiden, as we just described. She worked in the field. She was not afraid to work. And she worked in the field as a handmaiden, even though she had at one time been a mistress, a lady master. Now, she was also virtuous because she obeyed her mother-in-law. Naomi has told Ruth that she will go to see Boaz at night, where he is at his threshing floor. And there she's commanded to go into him and uncover his feet and lay down there, and he shall tell thee what to do. Now, this thing that Naomi is requesting Ruth to do is to make a sexual overture to Boaz. The expression "uncover the feet" is a Hebrew euphemism that means to expose one's sexual organs. What Ruth was commanded to do by Naomi was to basically crawl up in between Boaz's legs. Now, we might feel that this is rather crude, but then again, we don't live in Hebrew society who didn't seem to have hang-ups about these things. Anyway, it was a challenge for her to do this, to make sexual overtures, and it did take quite a bit of obedience on her part to do this thing. Now, when she did it and Boaz finally realized what was happening, Ruth said to him, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." In other words, Ruth was telling Boaz to marry her. We find it rather odd in our day to think that women will pursue a man for marriage. But this is not a concern in the Bible, because what is of concern in the Bible is holiness and being true to God's law. And here what we find is two women who had not a covering upon them. They did not have a lord, a husband to protect them. And so this was a moral responsibility, according to biblical law, for men who were a near kinsman to take care of the unprotected women in the family. And so for Naomi and Ruth to do this was entirely proper within biblical law. Now, Boaz was completely happy. He said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." So here, in pursuing this old man, Ruth has extended her virtuous character even further and has refused to follow young men, whether rich or poor, to pursue them for marriage, but rather sought to be faithful to God's word and to his law and to pursue a godly old man and to marry him. Now this illustrates, again, the husband is to assume the representative relationship of the father to his wife. And in a very literal sense, this was seen in the Bible where you find intergenerational marriage take place, where men who were much older than their wives married women who were either their daughter's age or perhaps even their granddaughter's age. And if you will do a study on this, you will find that the disparity of age is so great sometimes that in the case between Abraham and Keturah, his second wife, it was 100 years. Now, how is this possible in the Bible? The possibility of generational marriage in the Bible is made possible because we are all the same age in the eyes of God. We were all created in Adam, and the unfolding of the human race is like the unfolding of the scroll, and each one of us takes our place at the appointed time. However, the maturity level is reflected in our differences of roles. The reason why a man can be much older than the woman and make a good match is because they have different roles. And a woman reaches her maturity for her role as wife and mother at a certain age, and a man reaches his maturity for the role of a father and a husband at a different age. And once you reach that age of maturity, two mature people can be married, and it doesn't matter what age they are. All the great men of the Bible married much younger women. Isaac was 40, and Rebekah, his wife, was only 10 years old at the time of their marriage. After leaving his father and mother, Jacob resided in the house of Eber before returning and then going on to Haran at the age of 77, where he became engaged to Rachel, who was 21. Her sister Leah was also the same age. After fleeing from Egypt, Moses dwelt in the land of Cush before going on to Midian, where at the age of 76, he married Zipporah, a righteous daughter of the priest, who tended his flock of sheep. Joseph, the earthly father of our Savior, was by tradition much older than Mary, who, as it's found in Lamb's Bible, shows in his book on Bible idioms that Mary lived with Joseph as a little bride who was betrothed but had not consummated the marriage. It should be noted that these great men who Yahweh anointed to a special calling didn't marry just any young virgin, but only those who also had a high calling. It was an honor for him to be married to her, just as it was for her to be married to him, a chosen vessel of the Lord. The only exception to older great men marrying much younger women seems to be Abraham, who married Sarah, a beautiful woman who was only 10 years younger than he was. But as we mentioned before, Abraham married Keturah after Sarah had died at 137 years of age, had to have married a woman who was of at least childbearing years. Keturah had borne him 6 sons, so there very likely was more than 100 years difference between them. And of course, in our current study, what we have here is Ruth and Boaz, who are another example of this kind of marriage. And he calls her a virtuous young woman, a daughter, and commended her for not going after young men, says in chapter 3, verse 10. And so this is why we find this custom in the Bible. But I should also add that when you study the religion of witchcraft, you find that there is an emphasis of equality between a man and a woman, and this is especially reflected in their equality of age. And the reason why this is because according to Wiccan religion, there must be an equal balance between the sexes because it reflects the God and Goddess and a balance of the cosmos. The Christian does not adhere to this view of the universe. We do not need this kind of a view in order to have a happy marriage. And consequently, we focus on God's purpose for marriage and the roles that men and women have in a marriage relationship. In order to restore sanity to our marriage customs in our land today, I believe that we need to realize that there must be a dowry provided in marriage. It needs to be an arranged marriage with a godly representative for the woman, and also this custom of intergenerational marriage needs to be looked at again in order to provide sufficient maturity on the part of the man that he is held in high esteem and respect by his bride, so that she will willingly obey the command in the scripture that says she is to treat him and to call him her Lord.